from HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 413, recorded live Thursday, April 27th, 2014. This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support. Online at TELERIK.com. And by Franklins.net, makers of GesturePack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at GesturePak.com. In this episode, Scott talks to Catherine Moss, a blind software tech, about how she uses her computer and her phone.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'm chatting with Catherine Moss. She's an IT professional. And you also happen to be blind, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Are you totally blind, or is that an okay question to ask?
Oh, that's totally fine. I'm blind, like totally blind as far as being able to read print goes. I can't. I have to rely completely on, you know, screen reading software to access any sort of, you know, computer system or anything like that. But I do have, you know, some color recognition, some you know, shape recognition, and I can also detect light and darkness as well.
Mm-hmm. So you can go into a room and you can say, oh, lights are out.
Oh, absolutely. And I can also see if there's a bunch of people in the room usually too, because I can, like I said, I know most shapes. Like so for instance, like with people, I can see people's shapes, but I would never be able to see their facial expressions.
I see. And if I gave you like a coupon, could you tell me when it was expiring?
Mm-mm. Nope. No. Not unless I scanned it into a computer and was able to read it using text-to-speech software. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. No.
Okay. I haven't talked about it a whole lot, but I had LASIK surgery. And before I had my eyes zapped, I was negative 11 diopters, which was 2,600. So I had big, thick glasses, big 1980s glasses, not before we had plastic and polymer lenses and stuff. So I've hit this bump in my nose from wearing glasses for 20 years. And I couldn't walk without my glasses. Like I could see colors, but I would trip over stuff. I couldn't see my feet in the shower. And so I had a little bit of a background in, like, I was the most blind kid in school. And then when I got LASIK, of course, I got to put all of that behind me. But I still tried to think about accessibility. And when I went to work in banking, one of my jobs was to think about this 508 accessibility and try to make sure that our websites were accessible with screen readers. And you use a screen reader?
Yes, I do.
Which one do you use? Is it JAWS?
I use quite a few of them. I use JAWS. I actually have NVDA non-visual desktop access loaded right now, which is an open source Python screen reader, which is pretty cool. It works with Skype natively. It doesn't need any scripts or add-ons or anything, which is very rare because Skype is one of those applications that a lot of screen readers need a lot of modifications to work with, which is interesting. And I also use WindowEyes, which is wonderful because it allows you to create scripts and add-ons in any language. Mm-hmm. And I don't have that loaded on my computer at the moment. I need to get it. And I also use System Access, which is great for a lot of things. In fact, they actually touch a lot of applications that a lot of the other screen readers don't even bother with, like a lot of the more enterprise and corporate level applications that the others simply just don't care about, which is fantastic.
So you're saying that there's no like canonical screen reader, like there's not like the ultimate screen reader, like you're always exploring and experimenting, and if a new one comes out, you'll try that and see if it's any good.
Oh, yes, I always have to. And sometimes I have to switch screen readers multiple times within an application, depending on like what's going on and depending on whether it's behaving itself. Because sometimes it just decides, oh, I'm not going to behave today, so I'm just going to give you a hard time. And like that was happening to me earlier with Firefox. I was trying to load a website, and I was on a web page, and I switched from NVDA to JAWS, and JAWS got all confused, and for whatever reason, JAWS was only reading the links. It wouldn't allow me to see the text between the links and to navigate between the headings and things.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to switch back because JAWS was just being a pain at mm-hmm. that point, which it does sometimes.
And it seems like it's okay to say see and look at this and stuff like that. There's just,
absolutely.
I mean, you are seeing it. You're seeing it in your way.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Does the resolution of the screen matter to you? Because even though you can't see it, I assume that screen real estate is still significant. Like if the web page was at 800 by 600, you wouldn't be able to see the text off to the right of the... You know what I mean? Like, can the reader tell?
The screen reader doesn't care, but with the amount of vision that I have, I could definitely tell because I was actually doing that the other day. I was playing with my resolution because I was bored, and I have a 1366 by 768 display,
mm-hmm.
so I moved it down to 800 times 600 just mm-hmm. to be, you know, just to be goofy because I was bored, and it looked so weird. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to change this back because
it looked weird from a screen reader perspective.
No, from the perspective of the amount of vision that I have, it looked really weird. Like, for instance, I opened Microsoft Office 2013. I opened up Microsoft Word 2013. No matter how much I maximized the thing, I could not get that document to cover the entire page.
Yeah, yeah. 800 by 600 is unacceptable. I don't think any app works at that anymore.
Nope.
Yeah,
not nowadays.
We'll find ourselves in situations. We the sighted will find ourselves in situations at low resolutions where we'll bring a dialog box up, and then like OK and cancel is off the bottom of the screen, and there's just simply no way to push the button because it's just not on the screen anymore.
Yeah, the cool thing about screen readers is they can somehow get past that. Like they do it different. You know, some of them actually have video drivers, like JAWS and WindowEyes. Actually have a video driver. So actually the screen resolution and the display and stuff, in some instances that actually does matter. It really depends on the way the screen reader gets the information, whether it uses an off-screen model, which mm-hmm. JAWS uses, or whether, I'm not exactly sure how WindowEyes does it, but I know that WindowEyes has a display driver.
Mm-hmm.
And that can actually cause interesting results when installing that the display driver, because if it's not installed correctly, you can actually make a system with WindowEyes on it get a nice blue screen of death at startup. What happens when a blue screen of death happens?
Do you know that it's happened? You have everything. I mean, you said you have some color recognition, so there's things go blue and you know you're screwed.
They do. I can usually see it, and I know. Wait, hold on. I think I have to restart this.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, when it happens, usually it'll happen right in the middle of when my screen reader is trying to say something. So what happens is it gets stuck on what it was trying to say, and it like never completes. So the minute my screen reader starts doing that, I know, oh, darn, I should take care of this blue screen of death.
So you have if you're sitting in front of your monitor, and I'm trying to visualize this, sitting in front of my monitor right now, and the background is orange because that's mm-hmm. that's the color that I've got up today. I assume that you could have this sense, you can see the orangeness in a general.
I change my desktop backgrounds all the time.
But I've also got the Skype window up in mm-hmm. the middle of the screen with your name on it. You would not be able to see your name. Would you be able to see the window that it's there?
Oh yes, and I could tell because I can tell, like, because I can see the color patterns of the window and the looks of the window. But you're right, I wouldn't be able to read any of the text in the window. But the cool thing is that's where screen readers come into play, because they read the text for you, so you don't have to worry about it, which mm-hmm. is awesome.
Now, sometimes when a sighted person bumps into like Windows Narrator or something like that, that's their only experience with a screen reader.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all very like Skype window forefront. You know, it's very slow and kind of very marching. But when I've seen blind people who are really good at running their computers, I can't even tell what the screen reader is saying. It's just going brr, brr, brr.
Exactly, because we tend to have it up pretty fast. It's quite funny. I get that all the time. I get it. It's like people are like, "Wow, what is that saying?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm probably going to have to slow this down for you guys, aren't I?" Like that happened to me back in December when I had a presentation about screen readers where I did a few demos for the Boston Network Users Group.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was really appreciative of it, which I thought was wonderful. But at first I kind of forgot to slow it down, and everybody's like, yeah, can you slow it down a little bit? I was like, oh, I forgot to do that, didn't I?
That was interesting. You know, so they couldn't see it.
Right. They couldn't really understand what it was saying. But the cool thing is I had my computer connected to the projector, because a lot of the things I was showing was a lot of times when a screen reader is reading something, mm-hmm. that may not be actually what's showing on the screen to the sighted person who's looking at it. Hence when the sighted are helping the blind, it's often easier just to disable the screen reader, because it can get in the sighted person's way if the right settings aren't set to on, which a lot of times we don't usually turn them on by default. Especially, well, it depends. Like with NVDA, I have it turned on. Like there's this thing called mouse tracking, which essentially means that NVDA's cursor that it uses to visualize the screen is following the cursor that we see.
Okay, so let me see if I understand this correctly.
You guys see, I mean.
From a sighted person's perspective, there's basically two focal points on a computer. There's where the mouse is moving right now.
Right.
And then there's the window that has focus, and then possibly within that window, the text box that has focus. So there's a keyboard focal point and a mouse focal point. You're saying that the screen reader also has a focal point?
Yes, and a lot of times, again, like I said, depending on which setting is enabled, sometimes the screen reader's focal point does not match the mouse focal point. So therefore, a sighted person, you know, a blind person saying, hey, oh, can you tell me what this says? Because for whatever reason, my screen reader is not reading it. Mm-hmm. You might get a response, wait, where are you? I can't see it. And that's because it's not... like the two of them, they're right. Not following each other.
So right now I've got Skype in the front on my machine, and then mm-hmm. behind it, but slightly obscured, is a call burner that I use to record my shows. You, because you're exploring the visual tree of the window, what we call the visual tree, it's like the buttons and the windows and the tabs. Mm-hmm. You can wander around and look at call burner, even though it's visually covered. The structure's there. So your screen reader could be exploring that interface, even though it's not necessarily visible to me.
It could be. Yep.
Ah, interesting.
That happens. That happens a lot.
What about when windows get in your way? Like you're doing something and you're in the zone, and then something pops up and takes focus away. Does that happen?
Sometimes, and it can actually be very annoying. But depending on how important it is, I can usually just either use Alt F4 to dismiss it, or if it's something important, I'll acknowledge it, obviously, but it kind of depends on, what's going on. But that does happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. There's a joke amongst most technical Windows users that you'll be doing something like in Word or Notepad, you're typing some prose, and then just as your hand is about to come down to press Enter, the Windows Update restart thing pops up, and it's too late, right? Your hand is going down. It's going to push Enter. I assume that kind of stuff can happen to you, where Windows is like, we're restarting right now, and you have no choice.
It happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
And usually I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me.
And do you see it coming? Or is it like, does the screen reader notice? Or what happened? You just reboot, and you're like, I don't know what happened there.
No, it usually, it'll tell me. Like, it'll usually give me the option to, postpone or, mm-hmm. Or restart. And depending on what I'm doing, I usually leave myself enough time to, save my file, mm-hmm. And then I'm very careful, because I try not to be click happy and click on the wrong thing and then lose stuff. But occasionally that happens.
Mm-hmm. How often? And I appreciate you doing this, by the way. This is like a Reddit AMA. It's like Ask Me Anything. This is very fascinating, I think, to me.
I love it.
How often do you get stuck? Where the system is in a state where this happens to all of us. This happens to the best of us, sighted or not. I was in a state yesterday where there was some window in the front, and I don't know. I couldn't quite get to it, or couldn't see it, or was invisible. But keyboard focus was stuck, and I don't know what state the machine's in. And I'm just no amount of Alt F4ing or Alt tabbing is going to get me out of that. And I couldn't get the task manager up, so it was hard reboot. How often does that happen?
Well, lately, since I installed a bunch of stuff on this Windows 7 laptop, it's been happening to me every time I click the wrong thing in the every time I click on a certain thing in the taskbar. Because what happens is, but yeah, it does happen. Like this morning, for instance, I went up here to check email. I essentially had to hard restart right when I got in here, because all of a sudden, the only feedback I could get from my screen reader was desktop window. So, like, that's the only window I could see.
Mm.
But, like, yeah, I couldn't get to my taskbar. I couldn't get task manager up. I couldn't get anything up. I'm like, you're kidding me. And I have no idea, like what even caused it. But, yeah, that happens to me quite a bit.
And
funnily enough, it didn't happen as much when I had Windows 8, so.
Do you think that that's, and this is just from a user's perspective, do you think as a user that this is the operating system's fault? Or do you know, as you obviously are someone who installs crazy stuff to try it out, that you maybe installed some piece of software that's not blind friendly?
Yeah, I think it has to do with this one, because it happens particularly when I click on this one icon in the taskbar, which I need to get rid of it anyway, because it was actually the wrong tool for the job when I originally installed it. But I think so. I think for me, it's caused by one particular application that when you, like, so for instance, to get to the taskbar notifications, like I can hit the extended insert key and F11 at the same time.
Okay.
And it'll bring up a list of those notifications, and then it'll let me, you know, press enter on them to effectively right click on them. Also, yeah, it's not going to work unless you have either JAWS system access NVDA.
I see.
WindowEyes is a different one. WindowEyes uses extended insert S to perform the same thing. Which I
see.
I don't
know why. You have hotkeys to, like, I can get down into the, from a keyboard perspective, I can get down into the taskbar and the system tray.
Oh, yeah,
with
me too,
tab and stuff, but I don't have a hotkey to get down there, and you do.
No, yeah, we do. That's the one thing. And also on the internet, we have hotkeys. Like, we can hit H to navigate between headings, or I to navigate between, like, list items, and or we can do extended insert key or caps lock key F7 to bring up either a list of links or a list of different elements. Like NVDA and WindowEyes are really awesome in that respect, where they have, like, you can bring up a list of, like, all the elements on the page.
What?
And then you can.
That's really interesting. What kind of pages
press enter on to click them?
What kind of pages do you dislike? Like, we hate BuzzFeed right now because they'll take something like a list, like, you know, top 10 things you need to know about protein. And then instead of just putting it in a list, the page is just filled with ads, and they'll split those top 10 things across 10 pages.
Oh, good golly. I hate it when people do that. Like, you gotta click all around there. And then, half the time, the link isn't labeled properly in order for the screen reader to figure it out. So it'll just say, like, link, or it'll say, like, either the image, or even worse, as is the case for the ASP.NET Content Management System DNN, it will say the Base64 encoding.
Oh my!
Like oh my god! And it reads it, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. It's like, you have to know, wait, which string of numbers am I supposed to click on? And hopefully the DNN folks are going to try to fix that, because because I'm actually going to be creating a website based off of that pretty soon, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
So
accessibility issues aside with it, but those are the pages that I can't stand. And another thing is, I don't like pure JavaScript.
That was my next question. Do you like the Gmail sites and these kind of single page application sites that are largely JavaScript?
Oh, it drives me crazy.
So what? But that's the future, right? These single page apps. So what are we doing wrong with those?
Things are not being labeled properly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main issue. And also certain events. You guys are lucky because you don't really have to worry about it. But it's these other companies, like I said, you know, like Google, like like DNN. They have issues where
DNN is .NET Nuke.
.NET Nuke, right? Where they have a lot of stuff on the page, and then you go to click on it, but it's not like it's not labeled where you can easily get to it. And another problem. Actually, I can think of an issue where I actually helped these guys fix this. You've heard of the blog engine called blogengine.net, right?
Sure, that's Mads Christensen's system. He works with
me. Yes. I love that blog.
Ooh.
And especially when I move it, well, because my website used to be using Blog Engine, but the problem is there was too much other stuff with it that I had to get rid of the whole frame. And besides, that whole framework is dead anyway. But the Blog Engine, I had to have them fix something because I would go to, I forget what it was, like it was a settings dialog, like where you could go to edit, say like a post that you made, like if you realized you made a mistake,
mm-hmm.
you could go back and edit it. Well, I would use the enter key as a double click, or I can also simulate a real double click using a screen, using one of my screen reader commands. Well, because like for JAWS, caps lock key plus the number 8,
mm-hmm.
or there's also a way to do it on the number pad, but I don't remember
mm-hmm.
what it is. I'd have to look it up. That would usually simulate a double click on the link. Well, with Blog Engine, that wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually determined, and that again, that's the same with .NET Nuke as well. There, it was actually determined that carelessly implemented JavaScript was at fault.
Hmm. So, how important is it for us to, and what should we as sighted people do to like fix this? Like, I know that I always try to fill out the alt tags on my images.
Yes, though that is
that's super important.
Yes, that's super important, and you also have to make sure that when you're programming, you know, either websites or frameworks, that all of the keypress events are implemented, and that's what actually, that's what they forgot in Blog Engine. They didn't, I think, you know, you're a .NET framework guy, so remind me if this is accurate, because I haven't really picked at coding in ages. I'd love to go back to it, but
okay.
One of the things that I learned, I think it was like the method is like on key, like I think it's called like on key press or on key, something
sure,
like
on
that.
On key down, on key up, things like that.
Yes.
Sure.
On right. Those methods were not being implemented in that particular thing, and they had to fix it. Although I don't really understand how JavaScript comes into ASP.NET and what that really had to do with it, but whatever it was definitely, it was JavaScript's fault, which again, doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Well, because but I think what I'm hearing you say though, and I'm putting in the context of touch, where I know that I'll visit a site and I'll be able to click on it, or I can use mm-hmm. tab and hit enter,
right.
and that's the same
yes.
thing. But then
exactly.
I might try using my touch screen and touching it, and it doesn't
mm-hmm.
work. And what I'm hearing you say is that screen reader input is yet another way like that we need to
right.
be testing. And
yes,
sometimes the way the screen reader presses the button isn't working.
Yes. So essentially what happens is on these websites, pressing enter and a double left click are not considered the same thing.
Mm, pressing enter and a double left click are not the same thing. And this is just likely due to just not testing, it sounds.
Right. Yes.
So
people just not very familiar with it.
Should we hire blind testers? Or, I mean, what can we do? I don't think just goofing around.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That would be a fantastic thing to do. And especially because you have a lot of applications in the enterprise world, you know, I'm sorry to say, but just aren't really up to accessibility par. Like, for instance, mm-hmm. System Center configuration, you know, System Center, what is it, 2012 R2 now?
Something like that.
Yeah, 2012 R2 is one of them. And I don't remember, you might have, I think I mentioned that on Twitter, where there was a blind guy and somebody actually posted on a message board, you know, on behalf of this gentleman, and then he linked to the regular post and to the post on, I think it was TechNet, and essentially this gentleman essentially said, you know, quote unquote, thank you, Microsoft, for making my job impossible.
Mm.
Because System Center, like 2007 was really good, but 2012, I've heard is just really, really, really bad.
From a blind person's perspective.
Yes. Like, there's not a lot of feedback presented by screen readers. In fact, you'll see I did a beta. It's on my YouTube channel. I did a beta of Team Foundation Server. Well, it was Team Foundation Server 2011 when it was in beta, but and there was some huge issues with that. Like, for instance, I was trying to set it up just to try to, like, to try to demo it. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is a lot of the radio buttons, like, typically
I'm hearing your computer talking in the background. What's it?
My iPhone.
Oh, your iPhone is talking. So you got a text message.
No, it was a Facebook alert.
That's awesome. I want to come back to that because you have an iPhone, which is touchscreen. I want to talk about that.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So essentially what was happening is I was trying to set up, you know, TFS. I think it was on my older computer. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I would try to click, you know, check the various radio buttons, and typically, you know, up and down arrow, and then you can hit space to select the different radio buttons, like if you want it checked. Mm-hmm. What's happening is I would use the down arrow to try to see, like, there was one radio button that would read, and then I would use the down arrow to see what the other radio button was, and then sure enough, I got thrown down into an unlabeled edit field. I didn't know where I was at.
That's really interesting. An unlabeled edit field. So I did this blog post recently about dark UX patterns. And this is like when you go to like download.com and you download some utility that you really need, even though you know you shouldn't be doing it. And then the next thing you know, their installation system has installed toolbars and spyware.
Oh my gosh, I was looking at that post the other day.
Yeah, I put notes, yes, by the way, in all of the alt tags. I don't know if you saw those.
Yes, I see those, and I really appreciate that because, yes.
I'll leave you a secret message in one soon. The 30 or 40 blind people who visit my site will be like, oh, Hanselman. And I was thinking about that, like, that must be, like, it's frustrating if my sighted mom can't not install evil toolbars, you could find yourself in a really nasty situation if you missed a single checkbox.
I've done it, like, I installed something, it was a Sense-based download. I was trying to download an MP3 file from this website, mm-hmm, that I go to. It's called Blind Mice Mart, and they have a movie vault where they extract the audio from descriptive videos, mm-hmm, and they let you download them for free. I mean, I really wish they had like a paid subscription where you could get the visuals, but anyway, that's not really important. So I went to download this file, and you know, Sensebase, if you don't check the box, it'll say all these extra offers, and then sure enough, I finished downloading the movie, and then sure enough, I turned my computer on, and I had all these things popping up at me. I'm like, what is this? Mm. And then I was like, oh, darn, I didn't uncheck that box, did I?
and then you have to go just like we do and just dig it out, right?
Yes. Well, I think I used Malwarebytes to get most of it, because I was a lazy butt and I didn't feel like digging it out myself.
What a mess.
And I know, really.
Let's end by talking about your iPhone. The iPhone as a nondescript black slate seems to be like the least blind friendly thing. I mean, as an ignorant sighted person, I'm thinking, oh, she's got a BlackBerry. You know, I don't know. I'm an idiot, but I'm hearing from everyone that that's just a fantastic, fantastic device for the blind.
Oh, it's awesome. And I really wish, you know, and I really wish I could say the same for the Nokia Lumia, but unfortunately, due to Windows Phone 8 not having the ability to load like screen readers like JAWS and stuff, you know, that's not going to happen.
So the built-in screen reader that is, yes, is on the VoiceOver on, yes, the iPhone is great.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's essentially, it's almost as powerful as like JAWS or one of the Windows, mm-hmm, screen readers.
Mm. And what's great about it, is it just because it lets you see everything?
Oh, yes. It typically, I mean, occasionally you get an inaccessible application. And again, you know, the same rules apply. Like there may be accessibility in a certain framework, but if it's not brought to the forefront, then it's not going to be acknowledged. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with a lot of stuff, is it's not going to be acknowledged.
Do you use the iPhone kind of without looking at it?
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I believe it or not, I always have the display on because if I, you know, never had any light or anything, you know, my eyes wouldn't be stimulated. So a lot of blind people use the screen curtain and they turn it off so that people can't look at their display and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't bother with that. Well, because, I mean, number one, I don't really care if somebody sees me because, you know, like who cares?
People sighted people don't usually get close enough to other sighted people to be creeping around looking at their phone.
Exactly.
I presume that they don't do that to you either.
No. And that's what I'm saying. Like, some friends of mine are very picky about that. They think that sighted people will do that. Mm-hmm. And so they use the screen curtain. But, I mean, the screen curtain, I'll use it, like, to save battery. Mm-hmm. But that's more why I use it, because it does shut the display off.
Screen curtain is a feature of voice that just basically does exactly that. It makes it black, and you can't see.
It does. It makes it black, right.
Ah, okay. And then I understand that there's also haptic feedback, so you can basically hold your finger on the screen and then kind of, you know, move your thumb around, and it'll tell you what you're looking at as you move your thumb.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Can you do that? Would you mind holding the phone up to your mic and just kind of exploring the home screen?
Hold on a second. Let me get it. Facebook, 6 minutes ago. Unlock. Hold on. Let's unlock my phone here. Hold on. Stupid iOS 7 thing where it always asks you if you want to trust this computer every single time.
Yeah, if it's plugged into your computer.
Yeah. So see, so we have the calendar now. Of course, you can also click and you can also like so if you so I'm gonna double tap this and hold this. Moving calendar. And then you can.
I heard moving calendar, but it went really fast.
Passbook. Oops. Character mode. Oh shoot! Yeah. So
you dropped it into another box.
I did.
I heard that. Yeah.
Fix that. Yeah.
Sorry.
Passbook is editing. Nope. Character mode. Compass. It wasn't you. It was me, not really paying attention to where my finger was. So that's essentially how that works. So it'll tell you, like, if you're dragging things around to move them. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're making folders, it will tell you, like, you know, which app you're on.
Settings. Is editing.
Like character that.
Mode. Mm-hmm.
Page 1 of 6. Adjustable.
And then.
Swipe up. Page 2 of 6.
Extra and then I can move the pages. It will. So, like, I just moved it from page 1 to page 2.
Uh-huh.
And then you can just swipe up on the pages toggler thing.
Uh-huh.
And then, whoops, no.
Voice memos.
That,
folder.
Oh, face that's nine. Because I'm not in the right place. So there's a bunch of stuff that I have in here.
Uh-huh.
I got a game and a Y.
It's going so fast.
It is. And unfortunately, I cannot remember how to slow... Well,
that's okay. That's okay. This is fascinating, though. And I think the thing that I'm taking away, though, is that it is simply the will to make this accessible that is preventing people from doing it. I mean, there's just no excuse other than just to do it. And if you put an application out there, whether it be a full-blown Windows app or whether it be a web page, and you do nothing, you've got about a 50-50 chance that it's going to suck.
Exactly. And may I tell you that sometimes... You know, I really wonder, like, I upgraded, part of my main reason for upgrading to Windows 8 in 8.1, and 8.1 did an interesting thing with my screen readers, but we can, I can either tell you about that some other time, but I don't know. It was interesting because I had said to myself, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to get into this whole, you know, modern app type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm sitting here mincing my words instead of, like, having a good time and accepting everything as an app.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here mincing my words, lecturing, you know, mincing words, lecturing people on the difference between app and application, which I still think there truly is. Like, I don't call Microsoft Word 2013 an app personally, but that, but again, that could be just
that's semantic apps. Though, but what is it about Windows 8 that is a step back from a blind perspective?
Because the new modern interface, nobody except for Microsoft, the only modern apps that I can really use in Windows 8 are the Microsoft ones. Like, for instance, the SkyDrive app.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. It's absolutely beautiful. Skype, I would love it if all the buttons were labeled properly. Although I've heard a rumor that So they actually made that accessible.
So the full screen Skype app.
Yes.
Well, from a sighted perspective, the SkyDrive app and the Skype app, they look pretty much the same. They just didn't go that extra mile. They didn't label didn't label buttons. So you're sitting on a button with no idea what it is.
Right, exactly.
Ah, okay. See, this is we're going to make sure that people who are who work on those things hear this and are appropriately shamed into fixing it.
And the other thing too is, you know, and the other thing about the whole modern interface thing is it seems like there's not a lot of, like, it seems like programs can't be as involved as their desktop counterparts. Like, for instance, I don't ever see a modernized version of the Microsoft SQL Server Management Studio. Oh, and that's another one that doesn't work too well with screen readers, by the way.
I think that the people that are making these
real issues with
the people that are making these apps are putting them out without ever putting it in the hands of a blind person to even consider that it might not work.
No. And then when I go to the Kinect site to report these issues, half the time what ends up happening is they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, but I don't really know. We don't know what you're talking about." Or I'll never forget when I tried to report an issue with the installation of SQL Server, I believe it was. And in fact, that's still an issue.
Well, we all think that sucks, actually. That's universally hated.
Yeah, the installation of it, because half of it's not read properly. It's like, I just use the command line because it's so much easier. And so, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, no, that bug was fixed since 2008. I'm like, I'm sorry, it's still there.
So it's you've got your blog. You said you also had a YouTube channel on.
Yes, my YouTube channel is currently up. My website at the moment is not up at the moment because it's being rebuilt under.
No worries. What's
under DNN? But
what is your YouTube channel?
Oh, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/user/thechromebuster chromebuster
I will put these in. I will put all of these in the show notes.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, this has been just a joy. Thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. I think that it's a world that we don't usually see, no pun intended. And and as such, though, we forget that when people are on the internet and they may be blind or deaf, or they may not they have any number of different things that make them unique. And if you don't address those things with real basic stuff, I mean, marking your alt tags, making sure that anchors are labeled, you're locking the internet off to them, aren't you? You're making it so they simply can't participate.
That's very true. Yeah. That's about as accurate as you can get.
So I'm going to continue to think about you when I write my blog posts, when I write my applications, and I hope that other people do. And thanks again for chatting with us today.
Oh, no problem.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.